This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Saturday, January 16th, it's tournament day. Let the festivities begin. We're just about ready to begin anyway.
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. But they'll tip off in Southwestern at the Macoupin County Tournament at noon today.
Yep.
And they will get underway at the Litchfield Invitational at 2:30 this afternoon. Our broadcast will pick up at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yes. Plus, you've got the Highland Invitational Tournament, girls' tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Starting today, you've got the Winchester Tournament wrapping up, the Morrisonville Tournament wrapping up.
North Green
Tournament. Litchfield girls are in the championship again at North Green. That's another tournament they tend to dominate. And
exciting championship game at Morrisonville with Nokomis and Athens.
Yeah, great matchup there, which is, by the way, the early game tonight. So
6 o'clock.
O'clock game, yeah. So
yeah, the 7:15 game.
I think it's Lincolnwood-Edinburgh.
Lincolnwood-Edinburgh, that's
which
exactly
was a,
right.
Which was a good game earlier in the season, so between those two. So Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins in Studio A.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. G-Tote. We will have the Illini coming up 12:30 this afternoon. They are hosting Nebraska today on FM 106.
If you like basketball, this is one of these weeks that you can OD on.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We're going to give it to you.
We're going to try our best to do it.
Yeah.
It's a should win for the Illini today. Yeah. Got to win this. For what slim tournament hopes you have, this is a must win.
I think their tournament hopes pretty much now rely on winning the Big Ten tournament.
Unfortunately. Well, they could win out in conference play and still make it.
That's true. The conference season is a long grind. But from what we've seen so far, better win the Big Ten tournament.
No, they're not sitting in good position. But if they – it's not going to happen. But if they should win out in conference play and, finish conference play 15-3.
But just think about 15. What you're saying, Dave.
How confident do you feel about that, David?
Not confident.
Yes.
But I'm
if they win out.
Yeah. Well, that's why this is a must win today.
Yeah, that's a valid point. If they got the effort that they did the other night, every game, they're in games.
Out of Malcolm Hill and Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Malcolm Hill's been a disappointment this season.
What?
Yeah.
Disappointment?
This season. He's not been what he...
What?
Yeah, no. He had a good game this past game, but prior to that, he was really quiet this year.
Oh, I completely disagree with that. He's led them in scoring virtually
like
every 17 game.
17 or 18 points
a game.
He's
had several double-doubles. He's been sensational.
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't been paying attention enough. It's just possible.
But they're going to win out.
I didn't say that. I said, they could.
Okay.
And then they would make the tournament if they did.
But no, especially early in the year when everybody was hurt, Malcolm Hill was all they had.
Yeah.
I mean, he carried them.
And they're still playing, not at full strength.
No, and they won't be the rest of the year.
They won't be the rest of the
season
year.
Season-ending injuries. But.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate for Coach John Gross because with the new athletic director coming in, the axe may fall at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. The big, cruel business
of
collegiate sports.
You just go to the Big 12. That's where all the other Illini coaches end up.
And do well.
Yeah, and do well.
Do very well, actually.
Lou Henson and Bill Self have their teams 1-2 in the nation right now.
Who?
Not Lou Henson.
Lon Kruger.
Sorry.
Lou Henson's back? What happened?
It was Lou Henson night the other night at the Illini game, so I had my wires crossed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lou Henson Court.
Lou Henson
at
Court.
The State Farm Center.
Boy,
the Assembly Hall.
Adding names onto these arenas, aren't they? Uh-huh. Lou Henson Court.
And then you've got the new Rams Stadium, and they're going to... It's what, $25 million a year for naming rights that they're planning on building in L.A.?
The L.A. one?
Yeah.
What's it going to be called?
The Kroenke Dome?
The Kroenke Dome. There you go. Well, you got Jerry's World in Dallas, so it'll be some sort of stand.
Kroenke Land.
Whatever.
Kroenke Land.
That sounds creepy.
It's like,
what happens there? I don't want to know.
That's Disneyland, but Kroenke Land.
That sounds like a murder mystery thing on ID cable channel or something.
Well,
like
it kind of looks like it. So,
what happens in Kroenke Land stays in Kroenke Land.
Here's what happened one night.
Oh, boy. He's a creepy dude.
Yeah, he is.
He's a creepy looking guy.
They're going to be the
same. He's not Mr. Happy Face.
No. He doesn't really scream L.A. to me.
Yeah.
That's because he's from Missouri.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's a Missouri guy.
Oh, yeah, that's
Missouri
right.
Guy.
No. He's a Missouri guy.
Yeah.
Missouri.
He used to be. I mean, he kind of just burned those bridges. So
isn't
now the state won't welcome
isn't it funny
back.
Now that we look back, this whole thing was set up years ago.
Yeah, they never had a chance.
Never had a chance.
St. Louis just removed him from the Board of Civic Progress
Good.
The other day, too. He's also a member of the Missouri Hall of Fame, and I think they're considering removing him as well.
Can you do that?
You can't do that.
Well, there's a petition out there.
You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be stripping him out of a Hall of Fame just because you don't like the guy.
No. But what did he ever do to get into the Hall of Fame?
Well, that's a different question.
Yeah, that's a whole different.
Yeah, why was he ever in the first place? Yeah, probably because he brought the Rams to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Georgia Frontier brought the Rams to St. Louis.
True.
Yeah, yeah, but he was the Missouri tie to get them there because he was the guy.
Yeah, that's true.
They needed a Missouri tie and a guy with the money. Yeah. So he was that link.
Is it just an odd coincidence to me that the week that they move, Stanny moves the Rams to L.A., Walmart closed 269 stores worldwide. Coincidence? Yeah. I think not.
Boy, it's been a weird, past few months for St. Louis sports.
Opens the door for the Major League Soccer team to roll in there somewhere.
Sounds like that's going to be a promising development for St. Louis. But, of course, all St. Louis really cares about how many days until spring training.
Till the Cardinals play.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, we'll have our typical spring training broadcast coming up, and they're going to be doing a few more games this year on the radio side than they've done in years past. All the games are going to be on television, I think, but I believe they're going to be doing a few more ball games on the spring training side on the radio.
The thing about the Cardinals this year, just very quickly, you know, they're underdogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're not expected to challenge for the division title. I mean, you've got the Cubs, you got the Pirates, and then you got the Redbirds. So
I expect to see Matt Holliday at first base every game in spring training.
Do you really?
If you're gonna find out if you can play it or not, game doesn't matter.
That's the time to do it.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
How big of a glove does it get?
Well, as big as they allow.
Yeah.
Glove, knee pads. Get on the ground and block everything.
Are you allowed to spray some stickum in your glove?
I don't think so. I think frown on that.
Think they frown upon that.
Do they in baseball?
Maybe I think so. Okay. Could be wrong. Well, I don't know. Pine tar, maybe not.
A little pine tar. What's a little pine tar?
Pine tar.
I mean, it's not like you're hitting.
That's right.
I
never hurt anybody.
He has it in his glove, and then the pitcher gets in trouble for it. Because
always. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Nah, they'll throw it out.
But I believe we're almost inside of 30 days for pitchers and catchers reporting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because the winter warm-up's this weekend.
Yeah. It starts today, doesn't it?
Starts today, yeah. Winter warm-up, yeah.
They just wrapped up the caravan.
Yeah.
Cardinals caravan.
You know, whenever the winter warm-up rolls along, you know the spring training's not too far off. Just like high school basketball season, once the holidays get here, the season is almost over. And especially once County Week and the Litchfield Invitational Weeks arrive, girls' regionals are just a few short weeks away.
Isn't it amazing when the season starts, you look at the calendar and you say, oh, gosh, the Litchfield tournament, county tournament, Highlander, it's going to take forever to get here. And then all of a sudden, well, gee, it's here. And you're going, okay, what happened to the season up to this point?
It just flew by.
That's right. It absolutely flew by.
It's the 98th Macoupin County Tournament being played at Southwestern High School this year in Piasol. They will tip at noon today. They will have three girls' games to start. Mount Olive will take on Staunton at noon. At 1:30, it'll be Gillespie and Bunker Hill. At 3 o'clock, top-seeded Southwestern will take on North Mac. Beginning at 4:30, boys' pool play will tip with Southwestern and Staunton. At 6 o'clock, our live coverage will begin on FM 106 with North Mac and Mount Olive. And at 7:30 tonight, it will be Gillespie and Bunker Hill. At the 49th annual Litchfield Invitational this afternoon, all these games will be played in Simmons Gym at 2:30, first game of the day. Woodriver takes on Roxana. At 4 o'clock, it'll be Lebanon taking on the Pena Panthers. And then at 5:30, Hillsboro will take on top-seeded Civic Memorial. We will have that broadcast at about 9 o'clock tonight on FM 106. Then at 7 p.m. this evening, it'll be Litchfield taking on Metro East Lutheran, and we'll have that broadcast at about 10:15 tonight on WQSMI FM 106. All four high school games will stream online at WQSMIradio.com.
Full night of basketball. Mm-hmm. God, you got to love it.
Almost like regional week.
Yeah, it is.
Love it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Love it.
Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we hope to catch up with Litchfield head coach Drew Logan. Panthers picked up a big conference win last night against Gillespie. And, of course, they get set to host the Invitational today. We will talk with Coach Logan following these messages on Sports Saturday.
15 minutes after 9 o'clock, back to Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins in Studio A for more Sports Saturday.
Thank you very much, T-Tote, and we will have the Fighting Illini coming up 12:30 this afternoon here on FM 106 with Illinois hosting Nebraska, and then high school basketball for you tonight, 6 o'clock from the Macoupin County Tournament. It will be North Mac and Mount Olive. At 7:30, it'll be Gillespie and Bunker Hill, and then we will have broadcasts from the Litchfield Invitational tonight beginning at 9 o'clock, as we will have Hillsboro taking on CM, and then at 10:15, the broadcast of Litchfield and Metro East Lutheran. Last night at Simmons Gymnasium, it was a packed house, David, and it's two Friday nights in a row that the gymnasium has been essentially sold out at Litchfield, and great atmosphere last night for the Comets, or for the Comets, for the Miners and the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, Litchfield got the better end of the game, and it's hard for a team to beat a team three times in a season, and that turned out to be the case last night.
And it was a game last night where the big three of Litchfield really dominated the game from the word go last night. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Drew Logan. And, Coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Good win last night for your squad.
Yeah, the first thing I want to compliment is our student body, our crowd. We've had two big home games in 2 weeks with Hillsborough and with Gillespie, and we kind of challenged the student body and the community to come out and support us, and they really have, and it kind of changes the atmosphere in the gym when there's that many people there. So it makes for a fun night.
And you're exactly right. The last two nights, that's what high school basketball used to be all the time not that long ago. So much fun.
Right, it is. And, I mean, it's you go to a lot of places and you feel like they have that home court advantage because they got people on top of you yelling and screaming and doing things the right way, not being rude to the team, but just being upbeat and positive, and I feel like our kids are really doing that now. And we've had good student body support. We've had our youth program coaches there. We've had our youth teams have been there, so it's kind of been nice. And I know our kids, I always tell our kids, you play for the guy sitting next to you. But it's nice to have that energy from the crowd.
And Josh Franke seems to have that ability to get a crowd even more fired up than they already are.
He is an energetic young man. I mean, when you had somebody move into your district, especially as a senior, you're always kind of, questioning on what you might be getting. From a practice standpoint, from a personal standpoint, from a school standpoint, a camaraderie standpoint with the team, he has been everything, probably more than what we expected. And I kind of reached out to some people that know him really well and kind of asked them what I was getting, and they nailed it right on the head because, he brings great energy. He will do anything that we ask him to do. His focus is trying to win ball games.
Coach, going back to last season, you've kind of struggled a little bit against Gillespie. What were some of the things you were able to do to get over the hump last night?
Well, obviously, it's no secret to anybody. I mean, you've got to figure out how to slow down Evan and Nick. I mean, that's what makes them tick. And, kind of in the same way that Simmons, Sharp, and Frankie make us tick, those two guys really kind of lead the charge with them. And, we talked about it on December 30th in the locker room after we lost that game. And I told them, I said, we got an opportunity on our court to change some things and do some things differently. And not so much differently, because we did a lot of the same things that we were going to try to do during that championship game. But unfortunately, Evan got off to such a hot start, it really kind of made us quickly change our game plan. But the guys really did a nice job. I've been challenging Zach Skinner almost every night to defend the other team's best player, and he has really stepped up to that challenge. I mean, he's held, last week he held Moore to, 12. He held Blake Marks, who had 32 the first game against us, Wood River, held him to 12, and then I'm not sure exactly what Evan ended up with last night, but he did a nice job on him.
I think he had 16 all coming in the second half. Drew, you guys are now 11-6 on the year. How would you assess your team here as you are getting set to begin the Litchfield Invitational today?
Well, I had spoken with you a couple times through, I think it was at McComas and at Carlinville. I said, I feel like we're just treading water at that point. And we really kind of ramped up our practices. We've been, really trying to compete in practice and made some adjustments even on the JV where we pulled some guys out, put some new guys in. And, we've kind of really challenged them to finish the second half of their season strong, because unfortunately, since I've been here, that's been our MO. We start off really strong, and then we struggle as of late, other than the conference title year. So we really kind of tried to challenge them to stay focused and stay energetic. And, we've got a lot of tough teams in the second half of our schedule, but, I'm pretty confident with the group of kids I have.
Well, the Litchfield Invitational starts tonight, and you got a real tough opponent in Metro East. That'll be the last game of four here at Simmons Gymnasium. But, Drew, just talk about this Litchfield Invitational once again, an extremely deep, diversified field.
Well, and here's how you explain it right off the bat. You got, you know, Nokomis ranked 10th, which they're always ranked down based on their record at that time. But this tournament is, and it's always funny when Jason sends me all the information. He says, have fun feeding this. And you talk to all the coaches involved, and it's just a nightmare to seed because you've got Hillsborough, for example, who's beat the 8, 7, 6, and 3, but they're ranked 9th. You know, Nokomis has beaten numerous teams above that. So it's hard to see, but it makes for some really interesting games. I mean, you've got, you know, Wood River and Roxana, who are literally a street apart driving up to play today, which is always an interesting game. And you know, the Hillsborough-Basalto game really kind of intrigues me. Hillsborough's playing very good basketball right now. Coach Fanzo's group, they play hard, they defend. They got some natural scores, good athletes. And, you know, Metro is we talked about it last night, Metro is a very tough opponent for us. But after last night's game, you hope that there's some carryover to that. I don't know if it will equal a W, but it would be nice to come out and compete against a solid team like that.
Yeah, look at the pool that you're in, Drew. You got Metro and Nokomis. So it may be your tournament, but not exactly a nice, easy draw.
No, and I mean, you know, and that's always the catch. You know, you rank the teams, and I mean, when we put the coaches' votes out for every coach to see, so there's transparency. We don't try to, you know, we're not, and obviously I would love to avoid both of those teams if I could have, but, you know, it is what it is. You rank them the way everybody deserves to be ranked, and to be honest, I mean, I look at any of the pools, and I don't know if there's any pool that I would be saying, yeah, I'd rather be in that one because, you know, the good thing is we've seen Nokomis, so we know what to expect there. And then with Metro, I mean, we saw them down at their tournament, and they're a nice ball club. But, you know, if you're gonna be successful in this tournament, you got to knock off somebody you're probably not supposed to be at some point.
Drew, you've been around Litchfield now for a number of years. Is there some things about this tournament that now that you're on the inside, you're like, okay, I didn't realize this was going on at the Litchfield Invitational?
No, I think the level of competition is the thing, you know, and I was, you know, not all for a long time, and I love the Macoupin County Tournament. I mean, I talk about it every year because, you know, my Keenan's birthday was on the 14th, and I still vividly remember.
I see you walking out of the gym.
Tournament, walking out of Bunker Hill. I mean, I still vividly remember it. I remember listening to, yeah, I think it was Boker on the radio telling me to drive safely on the way, you know, and that holds a special part in our family just because of that significance. But, you know, I didn't realize, because of how busy I was, I didn't realize the type of talent that the Litchfield tournament has. I mean, it is top to bottom. I mean, it is a tough tournament, and it's neat to see the diversity of teams. I mean, you've got 1A teams all the way up to 3A teams. You've got, you know, teams from all over the place. I mean, you got Mount Zion traveling down, which now has a local connection with Brian Graven being their head coach, and then their former head coach is at Taylorville now, so that could make for some interesting games at the end of the week. So it's just a well-rounded tournament. You know, it is very well run. Ed Roundcount and Don Gersh, who are retiring this year, do a great job with this tournament, and, you know, it's a lot of work. And it's a long week, but, man, you don't see many games that are not fun to watch.
Absolutely. The thing I love about this tournament is the fact that you've got the pool play, but then it feeds in to the bracket play. So, really, by the end of this tournament, the cream has risen to the top.
Yeah, and you see it every year. I mean, you see a team early in the tournament that, you know, I mean, last year, Greenville, you saw them play, and you thought, man, they could knock off one of these big teams. And, you know, Nokomis always has a chance to rise up during this tournament. But it's one of those that if you come out, if you're in that championship pool going into, you know, the end of the week, you've got your work cut out for you, but you've earned it. So it's interesting, and the thing is, even the games in the bottom bracket are still tough games.
Four games today beginning at 2:30. Drew, what time do the doors open, and how much to get in?
To be perfectly honest, price-wise, I'm not exactly sure. I've been so focused on Gillespie, and this week I couldn't even tell you if it's $4 or $5. I would say the doors will be opening probably around 1:50 to 2 o'clock. I know there'll be people there at that point in time. So We've got practice, so I'll be there at noon. So, but there, it'll open up, and we'll have concessions. There'll be plenty of things to eat, and a lot of good basketball to watch.
Sounds great. Coach, congratulations on the win last night, and best of luck tonight and all week long at the Litchfield Invitational.
All right, thank you.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, as they will play tonight against Metro. That's the last game of the night at 7. We'll have the broadcast at 10:15 this evening on FM 106. That'll be the fourth and final high school broadcast of the day. And that'll going to be a pretty entertaining quadruple header of basketball.
Well, I think we've got good matchups all the way through the night. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You don't often get those on opening night, but I think we've got good matchups the whole night. So.
Absolutely. And, of course, a week from today, championship night.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
And you can go to the St. Louis Regional Airport and hop on a flight to LAX. Go see the Rams now.
Just right? That easy.
Hey.
They're just a private jet away.
There you go. Looking for a way to go. We got it for you.
I guess Enos.
You heard it right here on this Sports Saturday program, folks.
Exactly right. I guess Enos got off his private jet yesterday before the press conference they had. There was a couple hundred people. I heard reports of 100. I heard 150. Also heard 200 of the diehard LA Rams fans who were out to welcome home Stan Kroenke and the Rams. Mm-hmm. There was 3,000 people that showed up in St. Louis on that first press conference day.
Yeah.
Now, the best thing about all this was what happened at the Blues game the other night. I'm sure you saw this, David.
I saw it.
You had Bill DeWitt III, of course, the Cardinals president. He came out to center ice in a Blues jacket. You had Tom Stillman, the principal owner of the Blues. He was wearing a Cardinals jacket. They went out to center ice for a ceremonial puck drop. Mm-hmm. And as they were standing out there, the St. Louis crowd started chanting, Kroenke sucks. Kroenke sucks.
Yeah. Kroenke fantastic.
Sucks. Beautiful stuff.
Fantastic.
That's right. That happened at the Blues game the other night, T.
Yeah.
The ceremonial puck drop.
Well, you know, you got to let it go sometimes.
Chanting is a part of sports.
It is.
Despite what Wisconsin is trying to do and eliminate all sorts of chants.
Yeah.
Can't say air ball.
Yeah. It happened the night the Rams moved, too, at the Blues game. The same night they announced that they had moved, they chanted the same chant. So.
Beautiful. Okay. Joining us on the phone right now is Brett Teekin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers. And Teekin, can you imagine a high school gymnasium that doesn't allow students to chant airball or scoreboard? This is crazy to me.
Yeah, you don't see it very often.
I don't know. They'd have to do something with Donnie Downs, wouldn't they?
Oh,
yeah.
Just bar him from the premises.
As long as they allow T-O-P-P-E-R-S.
Hey, in all serious, for my money, that is one of my favorite high school chants or cheers is when that Toppers chant gets going. I love it. I didn't go to Hillsboro, and I love it.
Yeah, it gets the crowd going.
Teek, your team has had a lot of moments that have gotten the crowd going this year, off to a phenomenal start, and really, I guess we're to the point of the season now where it's not a start, it's just a phenomenal year to this point. As you think about the season to date, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of things. We have been able to, other than the one time, handle any kind of adversity in a game and move on from there. We've been able to probably the thing that I think most about this team right now and stuff is the way we shoot the ball. We can score with anybody. We have some very good shooters as a team. We're shooting over 72% from the free throw line as a team. So the ability to put the ball in the basket is what I really think of with this team.
And I think to your teams over the years, Teek, have always been pretty good defensively, but when you add that added dimension of scoring, it just takes it to a new height.
Yeah, there's been some games where our defense hasn't been as good as I'd like it, but we've been able to score. We're shooting about almost 50% from the field of the team, right at 49%, it's a little bit different. It seems like you always have to play defense to win games. And this year, when we play defense, we win by a lot. When we don't play as well as I'd like to see us play, we're outscoring our opponents.
You don't see teams really go undefeated in high school basketball. It's so rare. What was the mood of your locker room after that one loss?
They weren't very happy about it. that was one thing that I wanted them to remember is you don't like this feeling, so let's try not to let it happen again. And I thought probably one of the most important games of the year was the next night after we lost that game. We had to come out and play a very good Auburn team, and they were ahead of us at halftime by a little bit. In the second half, we did turn up the defensive intensity, and we played very well defensively and ended up winning by 13, and I thought that was a really big win for us to come back tonight after we lost a tough game.
Of course, Hillsborough is one of two Montgomery County schools participating in the Highland Invitational Tournament. Hillsborough and Nokomis both participating. And I think your opening draw tonight has, what, Nashville?
Yeah, we've got Nashville tonight at 7 o'clock.
And Nashville, even though maybe record-wise not the year that they've been used to having, still a pretty darn good team.
Yeah, they're still 11-5 coming into tonight. They've got a new coach this year, but it's Wayne Harry's assistant who's been there for quite a while, so they're going to be ready to go. They've got a lot of pride in what they do. They've been on top for a very long time period. They're just a little bit different this year. They're a little younger and not quite as big as they have been in the past, but they're still going to play very good defensively and try to slow us down, and it's going to be a tough matchup for us.
Teague, what does it mean to be in a Highland tournament, a tournament of this caliber, with the postseason looming just a couple of 3 weeks away?
Now, this is the reason we, years ago, got in the Highland tournament. It really prepares you for the postseason and your stretch run and stuff. You see, we're 19-1, and we're the number 7 seed.
Yeah.
And then I can't really argue that we got the short end. There's just so many good teams in it. You could probably put them in a hat and pull them out, and they could be in about any order with Highland and Breeze Central and Modern Day and T-Town and Belleville West and Salem and Highland. There's just so many good teams in it, and you really get to see what you're made out of here and what you need to prepare for the postseason, and it gives you some real tough competition heading into that final stretch.
Brett Teakin, the head coach of the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Teak, do you get the impression when you go to events like this that other teams, they've got a pretty healthy respect for what you guys have built at Hillsborough over the years here?
Oh, I think so. We've been able to, even not just this year, but in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, we've been seeded somewhere between 7 and 10. So, I mean, it's not like teams down there look at us and say, well, they're not from down around this area. We're going to make them the 14, 15 seed or something like that. I think we've gotten some respect around and things like that. So, and then you look at even this year, and I don't know that it's an honor and stuff, but we're ranked 2nd in state. Yeah. And that happened after the Taylorville tournament. And I don't know that we're the 2nd best team in the state, but that shows some respect that the program has gotten throughout the state.
And, you know, that's something, the rankings, they really don't mean a whole heck of a lot, but it is pretty cool to look up and see your name that high in the rankings.
Yeah, in some respects, but it also kind of puts a target on your back, too. You kind of like to sneak up on some people, but whenever you're getting that kind of recognition as early in the year as we got it, you're not really sneaking up on anybody.
So true. Teak, thank you for some time this morning. Best of luck tonight against Nashville in Highland, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Brett Teak, the head coach of the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers, and yes, 2nd ranked in state, and I don't know if they're that good. I just know they're really good.
They're pretty darn good, and I love the comment about, well, we're 7th seeded.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get a big couple of weeks of games coming up.
You know, like the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, a great mix of 3A, 2A, and even 1A schools at Highland Girls Tournament. So it's a miniature state tournament.
Well, I was going to say, for years, so you've always called this the miniature state tournament, and maybe this is the perfect example of it. The 2nd-ranked team in state in 2A is seeded 7th in the tournament.
How about that?
Wow.
And they're playing a team that's 11-5 in an opening round game.
Right.
You know, isn't, a lot of times
perennial power nationally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't Breeze Central still ranked number 1?
Yes.
And aren't they in the tournament?
Yes. They're in the upper bracket.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Potential showdown there. Got to get there.
I tell you what, if you get to the next Saturday to the championship game, you've beaten some big schools, and you've beaten some big programs.
It's a heavyweight slugfest.
It is a slugfest at Highland. I mean, you will have to earn your way to the championship at Highland.
Unfortunately,
great tournament.
Unfortunately, those two teams wouldn't meet in the state championship game. because they would run into each other earlier in the
sectional.
In the sectional.
Oh, that's the way it's set up. I hadn't looked that
sectional
far ahead.
Complex.
The sectional complex. Yeah. Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. That was supposed to be one of the big benefits of the sectional complex.
Oops.
Hey, nothing's perfect.
Geographically speaking.
But, you know, in some ways, when you get potentially a big-time sectional game like that, that's better than anything you'll see at the state tournament. Because, you know, the venue will just be absolutely
a little bit smaller.
Yes, smaller, packed. Electric.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boy, if we get there.
There's nothing like a postseason run. It's just absolutely great.
It's a beautiful thing. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Well, the Research and Development Department has taken a look at actually what's shaping up for the Illinois High School Association postseason.
2A.
2A. Yeah.
What do the documents indicate?
The documents indicate, Dave,
that should they get there, Hillsboro and Breeze Central would match up in the super sectional.
Well, super sectional. But there's a big
Southwestern.
Big yes. question mark
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And Southwestern has their own regional.
Yes,
they do.
Southwestern has their own regional.
And I think, you know, we're talking about the rankings. I believe Southwestern's up to fourth in the 2A poll.
By the way, we've got a Southwestern Hillsboro girls matchup on the 28th of January, which is the day after the seedings are due in for the regionals.
Perfectly timed.
How
is
about
that? Last Thursday in January.
That'll be last Thursday in January. We're bumping the Illini off the schedule for that matchup.
It's a better ball game.
It's a better ball game. That place will be, I think it's at Hillsboro. That place will be absolutely packed.
You talk about postseason environments in the regular season. Yeah. You don't get it a lot in the high school ranks. That will be one of those instances.
One of the fun nights.
The 28th of January.
Yeah. But Toppers have their hands full this week.
Oh, they do. They do. You know, we've talked about it for years, though, with, you know, the Hillsboro girls and the Nokomis boys have a lot of parallels in how they run their program, to where they don't care who they play, when they play them. They'll go anywhere, and they don't really care what their record is. They just know that they're going to be better off for it come postseason, which is what they're aiming for.
Well, and that's the whole aim of this whole tournament, the programs themselves. I mean, that's – and, of course, Teak is an ex-Nokomis player, so – amazing how that
weird
cycles around, huh?
The apple did not fall too far from the tree.
No, it did not. No, it did not. So,
just looking at what that sectional would be,
Dave's intrigued here. Look at this.
Well, I mean, look at it. I mean, you got.
I guess the super sectional would be the place where Breeze Central would come in, right, Dave?
Yeah, because they're over in the Campbell Hill Trico sectional, and they're actually hosting their own regional. Breeze Central is. So.
Okay.
But, I mean, you look at the sectional where Hillsboro. We already talked about Hillsboro Southwestern, but you've also got Athens and Pleasant Plains, a couple of teams that would be in that sectional. So
this is not a – you know, there's no cakewalks.
No, that's loaded up.
It's going to be stacked. Yeah.
And, you know, and with the sectional complexes this year, it's designed to make sure that the better teams get to the regional championship games and get to the sectional semifinals. So it's not the neighborhood regionals like we've been used to. There's probably going to be some additional travel, especially in some of the opening round games. But the whole reason it's been set up like this is they want to get the best teams the best chance to be in the sectionals. So.
Well, it looks like, since Southwestern's hosting their own regional, it looks like Hillsboro's going to North Mac.
Yeah, I would assume so.
I would
so.
Almost guarantee that.
Yeah. So, but that's a few weeks away yet. So
load the bus up. They'll go play over there. Wherever they tell them to play, they'll play.
Right. That sectional will be at Beardstown, by the way.
At Beardstown. We were there once.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
That's right. Hillsboro was over there, and Gillespie was over there that year.
And Quincy Notre Dame was there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember them?
How can you forget them? That's one of the...
Wow.
I still have yet to see a girls team, but really any team...
In 2A.
In 2A.
Yeah.
Press off of a miss.
Yeah, yeah. I just... That might have been one of the best 2A schools in the history of the state.
They were phenomenal.
They were awful darn good.
They are not in this sectional.
No.
Or super sectional, so we'll have to see them.
That was the year or the series of years, where we had Litchfield and Hillsboro, both really good squads. Litchfield ran into Central Catholic.
Yes,
and then Hillsboro ran into Q&D.
And then there was a year they ran into St. Thomas More at Rochester.
Litchfield again, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Champaign, St. Thomas More. Had the what the 6'9"
was it Tori McCoy?
Yeah,
McCoy.
She wasn't 6'9", but she was
6'4".
As a freshman.
Yeah, as a freshman. Yeah.
Committed to Ohio State recently, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Heck of a ball player.
We thought she was going to Connecticut, but not the case.
Well, I think she suffered a knee injury.
Last year, she tore her ACL.
Yeah. Boy.
Always hate to see that.
Boy, you do.
Because they're 3A this year, I think.
Yes, I believe they are.
Yeah.
If Litchfield's 3A, I would hope St. Thomas More is 3A. I would hope.
Yeah.
And you know, Litchfield having a very good year.
Hey.
Very good
year. Lady Panthers in the championship game at North Green again this year. They're having a fine year. Yes, they are. And, you know, being in 3A, obviously a little more challenging, but, you know, don't put it past. I wouldn't put it past
there
Litchfield winning a game or two.
Could be an advantage.
And maybe being in a regional championship game in 3A, I'm telling you.
There could be an advantage just because of the unfamiliarity.
Sure.
Nobody will have seen him.
Sure.
Absolutely. And even at 3A, the odds are Litchfield will still have the best player on the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you got the best player on the floor, especially in girls basketball, you have a chance.
Yeah. Things
always
happen.
Have a chance.
Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Fighting Illini take on Nebraska, 12:30 pregame on WSMI FM 106.1. And that's ahead of all of our high school stuff coming up later on this evening.
Big day of high school basketball. So you got a championship game at Morrisonville. That's Nokomis and Athens. That's a 6 o'clock tip. Championship game at 6 o'clock tonight. At Morrisonville, Nokomis, and Athens.
I'm telling you right now, if you're not there at about 5:15, you're probably not going to get a seat.
What's the capacity over there?
I don't know, but it's going to be packed.
The capacity gets full.
It gets full quick. So get there early.
That's going to be a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Big time game there. Lincolnwood, Edinburgh will follow up at 7:15. That's over at Morrisonville, but Nokomis and Athens, the championship game at 6. The Winchester Tournament title game has Payson Seymour taking on Liberty. The Litchfield Lady Panthers, they're playing in the championship game over at North Green.
West Central
is the opponent
there.
And of course, Litchfield, how many years – we should have looked this up. How many years they've won that tournament?
They didn't win last year. They lost to Carrollton.
That's right. Yeah.
But other than that, they've had a lot of success over there.
I think
there.
They might have won the two previous years.
They've been to the championship game a number of years consecutively.
That's
another good tournament. Yes. It's kind of out of the area. It's a long ride for Litchfield, but they see some teams that they normally don't get a chance to see, and that's good for the Lady Panthers going into the postseason.
A lot of WIVC schools in that tournament. That, you know, that league, that conference doesn't get talked about maybe a whole heck of a lot. There's a lot of good, hard-nosed basketball teams in the WIVC.
It's all about geography. I mean, it's kind of tucked away there in that part of the state, and there's not a whole lot of media coverage. But, you know, when you start talking about Calhoun, Carrollton, you know, those are two schools that traditionally are tough as nails.
West Central's been solid and tough
West
for
Central's
a number
been
of years
very good.
Now.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good little conference.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
And you can't take them for granted.
You better not.
If you do, you're going to get your butt kicked.
That's exactly right. Of course, Southwest has already played Calhoun twice this year, split with them.
Mm-hmm.
So. Played Carrollton once.
So.
Yeah.
Of course, the county tournament starts today. They'll tip off with girls' games beginning at noon. But you look on the girls' side at Southwestern, it's hard to imagine anybody upending the Pious Allbirds before the championship game. But I recall the first year of the pool play when it was at North MacT.
Yes.
First game of the tournament,
North
Mac beat Southwestern in what was a major upset at the time. So you never know.
You don't know. That's why they make you play the games.
That's right. But on the Birds' home floor, good luck to you.
That would be tough.
Good luck to you.
And let's mention the Mont Olive Lady Wildcats who are tied for 10th in the latest 1A basketball poll. What a terrific season they are having. They won the Prairie State Conference outright. First time ever they won the conference championship in the Prairie State.
Already?
They went undefeated. they went undefeated in the Prairie State Conference. So, Mont Olive, a team to be reckoned with in the 1A level. And, boy, they should receive a pretty good seed come regional tournament time, I would think.
You would think so. Their problem's going to be depth. They got none of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of 1A schools have that problem.
Yeah.
That's not just Mont Olive.
Yeah, but they got no JV team.
Well, that's a problem.
They got eight kids in the program.
Yeah. But you can only put 5 out there on the floor.
You can. And as long as one of them's Jill Niehaus,
that's right.
You're okay.
Hey, I tell you what.
What a ball player.
You talk about a ball player.
Mm.
She's a ball player.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
She can do it all. You know, she's kind of in that, I think you've mentioned before, Dave, she's kind of in that Abby Brockmeyer.
Yeah.
She reminds you of a lot of Abby Brockmeyer when you watch him play.
Just gritty.
Yeah.
Just gritty.
You know, big, about 5'10", 5'11", can handle, can shoot, can go down on the block, can rebound, can really just do anything you need her to do on the basketball floor. So. But for Mount Olive, their problem is going to be depth.
Yeah.
When you get into the postseason, you've got to have some kids you can bring off the bench.
Well, you know, somewhere along the line, you've got foul trouble.
It's inevitable.
I mean, it's inevitable.
Yes.
It's just that's the one thing that, I don't know, just from experience of broadcasting, Tim, we see it year after year. There's a team that just, you know, one of your star players picks up two fouls in the first quarter, and you're going, ooh, okay, what do you do now?
Yeah, what derails a top-seeded team early in the postseason, more times than not, foul trouble to their best player early. And a lot of times it happens when a kid hasn't been in foul trouble all year.
Right.
So then all of a sudden you're in this win-or-go-home situation, and you're playing players that you haven't played together with, you know, on the floor all season long. Your best guy sitting over there on the bench, and next thing you know, your season's over.
It's demoralizing.
It is.
It really is. It plays with your mind.
And that's what we talk about. It's about the draw, but you got to be lucky.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, the trifecta, you got to have good players. Obviously, you got to have good players. You got to have good coaching. You got to have luck.
Got to have it.
There you go. The three things that make for a successful season.
Every team that makes a deep run inevitably wins a game that they had no business
winning. Oh,
yeah. Like, how in the world did we win that?
Yeah. It's every year.
Every year. Always happens. Yeah. Always happens.
That's the great thing about sports.
That's right.
And in particular, postseason basketball.
And I think Mount Olive and Calhoun, they are in the same subsectional, are they not?
I don't have it with me right now. Let me run back and get it.
Oh, you got the 2A. Didn't have the
one. He got the 2A, but didn't bring it on.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
That Calhoun and Mount Olive are in the same subsectional. Yeah. Mount Olive's hosting a regional.
Yeah.
And I think North Green has the other one.
Is that North Green? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. North Green.
I'm surprised that North Green has a IHSA postseason event. It's never happened before.
It's shocking.
First time.
They seem to get their fair share of
them. They do.
Yeah.
They do. I've been over there a number of times over the years.
Climbing the ladder on the wall.
The vertical ladder.
Straight up,
right? Going straight up. Once you get up there, it's a beautiful view.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful view.
It's almost like Batman climbing the side of a building.
Was that right, David?
Mount Olive and Calhoun in the same subsectional.
It's loaded.
Loaded.
Loaded. Absolutely loaded.
You got Winchester, Payson Seymour, North Green, Mount Olive, Calhoun, Greenfield, Carrollton, Bunker Hill, Brussels, Griesel, Perry, Barry Western.
So whoever's coming out of there will have been tested and challenged.
Oh, my God.
Just a subsectional.
Slugfest. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, you know, for Calhoun, they played in the title game last year, lost to Central A&M. Mm. They have literally everybody back from last year's squad. But, Terry, you saw this with the great Hillsboro-Hope Schulte teams a number of years ago. It was their junior year where they won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Great senior year, and then the luck was not with them on that second postseason run their senior year. So there, I don't think there's any doubt that Calhoun is probably the best 1A team in the state this year. There's probably really not
much
of a debate.
You could definitely make an argument.
You could make an argument with relative ease.
Yeah.
But that does not guarantee anything as far as their postseason advancement.
You know, we talked about the fouls, but you talk about, you know, maybe somebody's not feeling as well as they normally are. And there's just a myriad of things. The venue itself sometimes tends to freak out people. You know, we've seen ball players put up air balls. And then the crowd starts going, air ball.
Not in Wisconsin,
though. Not Wisconsin, though.
By golly, it'll take
we need
care
to talk
that.
About that.
Oh.
We need this. We're serious here.
It's absolute serious. Yeah, the Wisconsin Interscholastic Association, I think.
It's their version of the IHSA.
Yeah. Somehow they have too much time in their hands, and they've determined that this is the best way to fix high school athletics because there's some sort of problem, evidently. Okay. But they have outlawed the chant air ball.
Okay.
They've outlawed the chant scoreboard.
Scoreboard.
What about,
why?
What about he or she's a freshman? Have they outlawed that chant as well?
Probably.
See, I don't get this.
And apparently you're not allowed, like if a kid misses a free throw, you're not really allowed to cheer.
See, I
don't get it.
Well, number one, constitutionally speaking, that infringes on your right to free speech.
Yeah, like on the back of the ticket, you know, like when you go to a professional sporting event, you have the right to say whatever you want. You can't throw anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to make personal derogatory remarks at a high school sporting event.
I think at the same time, they also have the right to kick you out, though.
They have the right to kick you out. If you want to kick me out for saying it, that's fine, but don't tell me I can't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably what it is.
Like, how are you not going to be allowed to chant airball at a basketball game?
That's crazy.
It's probably temporary.
Well, yeah,
it's
because they're getting blasted for it from around the globe because it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to meet the group of individuals that came up with this brilliant idea.
Oh, they probably haven't been to a ball game. They probably haven't been to a ball game in 3 years.
Did they ever play sports? Did they ever attend a game? makes no sense. Like last night at Litchfield.
Well, Drew Logan pointed out how the Litchfield crowd has been the sixth man for them all year long. This is part of the experience of high school sports.
Last night, I mean, I was basically in the coal mine crazies cheering section, and the Litchfield students were across the way. They were both standing the entire game, chants going back and forth, nothing mean-spirited, just kids having a good time, supporting their school, rooting them on. It was fabulous.
Hey, if you want to ban dirty words, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's right.
I don't have a problem. But airball is not a dirty word,
Right, the other one, that I guess you can't say we can't hear you.
Oh, really?
Right. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes the administration has a way of going overboard on those things. Like, when I was in high school, they outlawed us bringing in newspapers to read while the starting lineups were being announced.
That's
opposing starting lineups.
That's ridiculous.
Now, see, I always thought that was kind of neat.
I thought it was awesome. Or like when they just turned their back. Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem with that, you're a stick in the mud and just go away.
They didn't have a problem with us turning the back. It was the newspapers they
had
a problem.
That was the problem?
Yeah, for some reason. It was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Well, if you hadn't held them upside down, no, that would have been, you know, come on.
Because we would just sit there looking at our newspaper.
It's all beautiful
opposing lineups are being read. As soon as they announced that Litchfield's going to be announced, we got up and woo.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great thing. It's how it should be.
Well, it's about school spirit.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
You know.
Used to be a common thing.
Yeah. 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 I don't know.
But hey, at least it's not Wisconsin.
This is true.
But what do you expect from a group of people that wears blocks of cheese on their head?
You think the Badger had anything to do with it? I think Bo Ryan had anything behind it. I know he's a college coach. But
I don't know. I'm not going to blame Bo the Badger for this one. He is retired now. He's probably off fishing somewhere, enjoying himself.
Yeah, fishing with his hands. just reaching, pulling it out, bare hands.
Look at the speed of those hands.
Oh, Bo.
He was always one of those where I heard him speak for the first time, and I was like, I did not expect him to sound like that, because I expected for him to sound like this guy who'd been smoking cigars his entire life, just this really raspy, kind of Jimmy Durante kind of voice.
Yeah. Now, most of the people listening today have no idea who
Jimmy
Durante
is. Well,
yeah.
I can't explain it to you.
That's all right. That's okay.
If you don't know,
If you ever watched the original Frosty the Snowman animated special, he was the narrator, I think, right? Wasn't he?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't watch Frosty the Snowman.
Well, I don't watch it religiously, but I've seen it.
Yeah. Giant nose.
I saw it, 40 years ago, back when it was first run, back before they remastered it, back when it was in black and white and you had fuzzy lines on the TV.
The rabbit ears.
I'll be honest with you, I probably have never seen it in color.
Mm-hmm. You're probably not missing that much.
Yeah.
Probably the same.
It's animated.
Probably is
the same
way.
I'm not into animation.
Yeah, you're not at all.
No.
Not at all.
I always complain about animated shows because I'm just not into animation. I'm into basketball.
And we got plenty of that today. We've got Fighting Illini coming up, hosting Nebraska 12:30 this afternoon here on FM 106. And then high school basketball tonight from the Macoupin County Tournament, live at 6, North Mac in Mount Olive. At 7:30, it's Bunker Hill and Gillespie. Those are boys' pool play games live tonight on FM 106. We then switch venues to the Litchfield Invitational. It'll be Hillsborough and CM broadcast at 9, Litchfield and Metro East broadcast at 10:15, all four high school games right here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville. And, of course, we'll stream them online as well. Sports Saturday is done. We want to thank Drew Logan and Brett Teakin for their time this morning. For T-Tote, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Have a great weekend, everybody.